Good day, and welcome to today's live broadcast from the USDA radio studios in Washington, D.C., featuring the administrator of USDA's Farm Service Agency, Valdo Seedy. Reporters and members of the media wishing to ask a question of our guest today after the opening remarks, please press star 1 on your telephone touch-tone pad. It's now my pleasure to introduce FSA Administrator Valdo Seedy.
Thank you, Rod, for that introduction, and I thank all of the media callers for joining us this afternoon on short notice. Earlier today, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack provided farm owners and producers one additional week, that is until April 7, to choose between the Agriculture Risk Coverage Program and the Price Loss Coverage Program. These, of course, are the safety net programs established by the 2014 Farm Bill. Also extended to April 7 is the final day to update yield history and to reallocate base acres. As you know, those deadlines had been set for March 31 prior to today's change. Secretary Vilsack said that this is an important decision for producers because these programs help farmers and ranchers protect their operations from unexpected changes in the marketplace. And thus far, we've seen about 98% of owners who've already updated yield and base, and about 90% of the producers have enrolled in either ARC or PLC. But this additional week will give these producers a little bit more time to have the final conversations, review their data one more time, and visit their local FSA offices to make these important decisions. I want to remind everyone that if no changes are made to yield history or base acres by the deadline, the farm's current yield and base acres will be used. And if no program choice is made between ARC or PLC, there will be no 2014 crop year payments for the farm, and the farm will default to PLC coverage for the balance of the farm bill. If a farmer has already contacted his or her FSA office and scheduled an appointment with our staff, then they've met their deadline. But these safety net programs provide important financial protection against unexpected changes, as I mentioned, and we've done strong education and outreach around the nation since last September. We've sent approximately 5 million educational postcards. We've conducted over 5,000 public meetings. We've had over 400,000 folks attend these meetings around the country. We've developed web-based online tools with Texas A&M and the University of Illinois. We've done a number of different things to ensure that everyone who wants to know about the programs has enough information to make a thoughtful, pardon me, and well-informed decision. And I'm just here today to announce that producers need to get in by the 7th of April to sign up for these important programs. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
And reporters and members of the media, a reminder, if you have a question for FSA Administrator Valdo Seedy, please press star 1 on your telephone touch-tone pad. In fact, let's go right to the phone lines. Our first call of the day belongs to Alan Repke of Informed TV. Alan, good day.
Good day. I was just wondering, will the Secretary be disclosing to the taxpayer that on corn on the 2014 crop, Illinois got a 200-bushel yield, Iowa got 178-bushel yield, Minnesota got 156-bushel yield, but when you add up what the ARC payment's going to be and crop insurance revenue, you'll find that Iowa will bring in more gross revenue per acre, and Minnesota will be second, and Illinois, with a mind-boggling 200-bushel crop, will be third.
Thanks for that question, Alan. I have not parsed the numbers to that degree quite yet, but I'm certain that when the sign-up period is ended, we'll have a full accounting.
Thank you.
And, callers, a reminder, if you have a question for FSA Administrator Valdo Seedy, that is reporters and members of the media, please press star 1 on your telephone touch-tone pad. We will have Tiffany Steckler coming up shortly from Greenwire, but first, let's go to Jackie Packer for Feedstuffs. Jackie, good day.
Hello, Administrator. Thanks for taking our calls today. I wondered, you mentioned yesterday in the hearing that you were looking to send some jump teams to Oklahoma and possibly Texas. Can you maybe talk about where some of those teams might be coming from, and are there other states that that need some extra help, and maybe elaborate on you know, what kind of sign-up levels you've seen in those states that need the extra help?
Sure. Thanks for the question. You know, the issue of jump teams going to Texas and Oklahoma is largely precipitated by the fact that those states also have significant livestock forage program activity. And so in the cases of both of those states, we're working through a 2012, 13, and 14 backlog of LFP-related work, and the continuing drought in the Southwest has triggered LFP for 2015 as well. So Those states are working on LFP issues in addition to the ARC and PLC program activity. You know, their numbers are a little bit lower than some other states, but I think with this extra week, they should be able to meet the mark. We'll look to states probably in the upper Midwest where the job is largely done at this point, and other states that have interested volunteers. Thus far, we've reached out to all of our states, and we're assembling these teams as we speak. And, you know, this is a good example of FSA's can-do ethic around the nation. We're really a hardworking agency, and beginning last February when we rolled out that first Farm Bill program, we've been hard at it. So I think that the use of jump teams will be an effective tool for us to make sure we get over the hump in some of those states.
Before we go to our next call, I do have a clarification. Val, give me a little Jump Team 101 and maybe those in the listening audience, what exactly they are and how FSA has evolved.
Sure. You know, a jump team is essentially a team of folks from other states where their work is largely done or mostly done, who spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, in some cases working in county offices in a state that has heavy workload associated with it. And we've used jump teams for various program signups around the nation over the last number of years, and this is just another way for us to ensure that we're focusing resources where they need to be focused. We've also used temporary employees all over the country. We've eased up on the hiring freeze that we operated under for a couple of years, and I think that it's just a matter of balancing resources at this point, and jump teams are another good example of that.
The administrator of the Farm Service Agency, Val Dosini, joins us in the studio, you and the listening audience, and on the phone lines. And a reminder, reporters and members of the media, if you have a question for Val Dosini, please press star 1 on your telephone touch tone pad. Our next call belongs to Tiffany Steckler of Greenwire. Tiffany, good day.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Administrator, this is also in reference to the hearing yesterday at the Ag Committee. You mentioned that it was difficult legally, or you spoke to the general counsel regarding including cover crops and the basic acreage for ARC and PLC, and it seems like the lawmakers had a little bit of disagreement there. Can you go into detail on maybe just in layman's terms, not too legal, how this is, you know, difficult from a legal standpoint?
Sure, Tiffany. Thanks for the question. The issue is really whether cover crops will be eligible for ARC and PLC payments. And we really felt, and this was a question, as I mentioned yesterday in my response to the subcommittee members, the secretary had received a similar question several weeks earlier when he was testifying in front of the House Ag Committee. And you know, we looked at the 2014 Farm Bill language and consulted with the Office of General Counsel here at USDA and just didn't feel as though there was any room for us to maneuver on the question of whether cover crops could be, could be eligible for ARC or PLC or farm program payments when the intended use is not to harvest those crops and, you know, sell them as commodities. We didn't feel as though the statute allowed us to allow them for inclusion in that program.
We'll hear from Janelle Thomas in just a moment. She's representing Farm Progress, but our next call belongs to Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Jerry, good day.
Hello. Joe Outlaw, one of the professors to whom you gave contracts to advise people on their how to sign up for the program, has said this week that maybe in light of current commodity prices, people might want to re-examine their decisions. Do you have any reaction to that, and will that complicate getting this program finished?
I hope that it doesn't, Jerry. As I've said all along, folks can undo decisions that they've made prior to the deadline. So if somebody wanted to come in and make a change to a decision that they had made previously, whether it was last week or last month, they could do that. I hope that there is not a wave of folks who come into our county offices around the country with that intention. Mainly, this extension is to provide an opportunity for those that still have not quite made up their minds as to which program is the best way to go, one additional week to make that determination, and they can do that either by looking at the web-based tools or they can have a conversation with their county office staff. And we feel like one final week will really put us over the hump and get just about everybody who wants to participate in these programs signed up.
Back to the phone lines we go. Our next call belongs to Janelle Thomas with Farm Progress. Janelle, good day.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question for the administrator was, and Mr. Hagstrom kind of touched on that, so you've answered a little bit of it, but a second question I had was if you could speak on the regional disparities, if you're seeing any between who's signed up and who hasn't signed up, and maybe even by crop type, if there are some producers raising certain crops that have been a little more sluggish to sign up.
You know, like I said to Alan at the top of this conference call, I have not parsed the numbers to determine exactly what the regional differences look like today. There was some anecdotal survey reporting, perhaps it even was in Farm Progress some weeks ago, talking about decisions that had been made by a small subset of folks participating in the programs. I think that, you know, we're seeing robust activity at this point around the nation, and when the when April 7th has come and gone, and of course we'll work through a register for those that can't get in prior to that deadline, we'll be in a better position to answer that question.
Reporters and members of the media, a reminder that if you have a question for Farm Service Agency Administrator Val Dossini, press star 1 on your telephone touch tone pad. Back to the phone lines, our next call belongs to Ellen Ferguson of Congressional Quarterly. Ellen, good day.
Oh, good day to you. My question has been asked.
Okay. Straightforward and to the point. Administrator Dossini, just to, you mentioned some of the outreach that has gone on over the past few months with ARC and PLC, and maybe just kind of expand upon that, just recap some of the efforts that's gone on in terms of education, in terms not just for the producers themselves, but self-help tools, like online tools, for example, that they've used, and what is still available for them to help make that final decision if they haven't already.
Sure. The 2014 Farm Bill contained money for FSA to do a number of things, one of which was to enter into agreements with land-grant universities. We went with Texas A&M and the University of Missouri for one tool and the University of Illinois and its consortia for another. These web-based decision aids really, I think, have been very helpful to farmers around the country who plug in their own numbers, their own acreage, their planting into these tools, and it helps them decide whether one program might be better than another. We've also entered into cooperative agreements with almost 70 land-grant universities around the country who've helped with public meetings and a variety of other outreach activities around the nation. And then we've just done a battery of training, beginning with big national trainings on all of these programs. Of course, they were as new to FSA employees as they were to our customers. And we follow those up with state-based trainings around the nation and in an attempt to ensure that FSA employees were as comfortable with the programs and talking about them as our producers would ultimately be. And to date, we've done, between those meetings and a variety of other public-facing efforts, about 5,000-plus public meetings around the country since we rolled out the livestock program last spring. So I think that our outreach efforts have been robust. For those that still want to spend a little bit of time in the comfort of their own home office with the web tools, they can find those at fsa.usda.gov/arc-plc, and those tools will be available as long as the sign-up exists and presumably afterwards, and hopefully that will answer any lingering questions that folks have.
And our final call of the day belongs to Rob Winters of WoWo Radio. Rob, good day.
Hey, how you doing? Val, real quick, if you could, a couple of questions. First of all, if you could give us some clarification on this date of April 7th. I saw in one of the releases it said even if somebody made an appointment by the 7th, that even though the appointment may happen after the 7th, they would still be in under the deadline. Second part of the question is why PLC is the default program for somebody who doesn't sign up?
Well, I'll answer those questions in reverse order. PLC is the default program because that's what the Farm Bill indicated. With regard to April 7th, Rob, if someone comes into the office between now and that date and or calls the office and says that they can't get in for one reason or another, we'll do what we've done historically with big sign-ups like this and use a register. We're using that, for example, for the livestock forage program in several states around the country. It's just a way, it's a relief valve of sorts, and it allows our county offices to, you know, prioritize the work and do work after a deadline date, and our procedure has allowed for that opportunity for us for some years, and we'll probably need to use it here.
Reporters, members of the media, thank you for your questions today and for all of you listening in to today's broadcast. FSA Administrator Val Dossini, do you have any closing thoughts? And
no,
Val, thank you very much. This is Rod Bain from the USDA Radio Studios in Washington, D.C., wishing you all a great day.